This eighth psalm is a psalm of praise, wonder, and admiration. Let's read it together. Psalm 8, verse 1. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. The psalm begins with extolling God's name, and it ends with extolling God's name. Isn't it a blessing when we can, just for a moment, pause and think on the glory and majesty of our Lord's name? His name carries with it all the characteristics of God, the wonder of one God in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. His name being revealed here as Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, Jehovah, the God who saves. Our God is the thrice holy God, the God that is just. He shall punish sins. And the justifier, he is able to save to the uttermost. The ever-present, omniscient Lord God is our Lord, our Master, our Ruler. He is Lord, whether we be willing bondslaves in love or rebellious servants. All the earth knows, whether or not we'll admit it, that the Lord God is our Lord. One day, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. This morning, I hope we can go through this psalm together. And I plan to go through it twice. The first pass through, we'll look at this psalm, as the title says, a psalm of David. And the second pass, we'll look at it as a psalm of the Lord Jesus Christ. David begins the psalm full of wonder. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. As the children of God, as those who are redeemed and saved from our sins, we magnify the Lord's name, and we marvel at his glory, which cannot be contained. The creation cannot contain his glory. His glory is set above the heavens. Hold your place here and turn over to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews 1. Hebrews 1, verse 1. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the brightness of glory, and we shall all praise his name. Verse 2 in Psalm 8. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. Notice there that he says, because of thine enemies, not our enemies. We have many enemies. Those of us who are redeemed and saved by God's grace, we have many enemies, but they're his enemies. We don't have to deal with them. This verse might well be read in the literal sense. Out of the mouth of babes hast thou ordained strength. For the chief priests and scribes were sore displeased when the children cried in the temple, Hosanna to the Son of David, after Christ had cast out those that sold and bought in the temple and healed the blind and lame. Those children cried out in praise, while the religious rulers rejected our Lord. But as I stand before you this morning, attempting to proclaim something of God's glory, I can't help but think that David, while he was writing this, had himself in mind. He felt he was a babe and a suckling. Who am I to be proclaiming God's glory? Who, compared to many who preach the gospel today, am but a babe in Christ? Who am I, a sinful man, in comparison to the Almighty God, to even try to speak of His glory? I'm but a babe. But it is God, to His glory, who has purposed to save His people by the foolishness of preaching, even by the preaching of one as weak as I am. Paul said, when I am weak, that is, without power, leaning upon and having no hope of my own flesh, then am I strong, because I know that in me is nothing. I have no hope, I have no strength, and I have to look to the one who is mighty, who is true strength, well, my Lord Savior, Christ Jesus. We babes, when strengthened by the Holy Ghost, proclaim, all flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people are grass. Grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. That proclamation of the gospel with the blessing of the Holy Ghost stills, captures the enemy and the avenger. Verse 3 and 4. David says, when I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the Son of Man, that thou visitest him. Do you, like the psalmist, ever get wrapped up in the glory displayed in God's creation? David began Psalm 19 with "the heavens declare the glory of God." When we behold the moon, the sun, the planets, the stars, those are the works of God's fingers. As we behold them, can we not take our place? How proud must a man be to think he is something when he gazes into the heavens and sees the works of God's fingers? Are we not insignificant? Yet worse than a comparison in size, the heavenly bodies have never rebelled against God's word. They have always followed his course as he deemed them to. But we, insignificant man, rose up against our God and declared with one voice, "We will not have you to reign over us." God is just to condemn us, for all of us have come short of his glory. And yet, our God is mindful of man, even the Son of Man visiting him. Verse 5. "For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor." Man, being created of the dust of the earth and dwelling upon the earth, is created a little lower than the angels. The angels who dwell in glory, beholding the face of God the Father. Yet, being created a little lower than the angels, God has crowned man and the Son of Man with glory and honor. Satan rebelled against God, and he and those angels that followed him were cast out of God's presence without mercy, without recourse. But some of Adam's fallen race, those who God elected unto himself from the foundation of the world, some of those who rebelled in similar fashion after Satan and the angels that followed him, some of those have found grace in the eyes of the Lord. God must be just. Sin must be punished. Christ, coming in the likeness of sinful flesh, visited God's people. He satisfied the law on their behalf. And because of our weakness, because of our inability, he bore our sins in his own body upon the tree. He shed his blood, the just for the unjust. He became a curse for us, and he died to pay our debt. Since he paid for my sins and provided a ransom in full, Christ arose the third day, proving once for all that my sins were paid for, they were gone, and he has clothed me in his own righteousness. We, the elect of Adam's seed, are crowned with the glory and honor of the Son of God, because as he is, so are we in this world. Verses 6 through 8, psalmist declares that we have dominion over all the works of thy hands. Considering God's mercy and grace towards sinners such as ourselves, considering his condescension to be mindful of man that He sent His own Son to suffer and die in our stead. At one time, we looked at the works of His creation and we glorified them. We made idols out of them. We exalted them above measure. Do we not look upon them in the light of what God has done for us, what Christ has done for us? Do we not look upon the beasts of the fields, the fowls of the air, the fish of the sea, and we see them as so much smaller than they once were in our eyes? When we walked this world without God and without Christ, we exalted the creation rather than the Creator. And now with new eyes, with eyes that see Christ, we look upon His creation, those temporal things which we once exalted, and we now count them as being worthy of being placed under our feet and not worthy to be looked up to. But we want to see Christ and Him alone. And all of this, all that David has said, leaves us with only one thing to do: cry out all the more of the excellency of the name of our Lord. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is Thy name in all the earth. This psalm holds for us great and wonderful meanings as a psalm of David. But in this second part, I want to look at it again in a different light, as the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, some of the preachers that we love to listen to even today, some of those in the past, some today, they take a little offense to having red-letter Bibles. For they say that if you're going to put the words of Christ in red, the whole of Scriptures should be written in red ink. Our Lord Jesus Christ is called the Word of God. He is the Word made flesh. All of the Scriptures are concerning our Lord. They point to Him, they teach of Him, and they are His words. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Men wrote the Scriptures, but they wrote the Scriptures under the inspiration of God Himself. They were given the words to write. The psalm we are reading is the words of Christ. Just as Psalm 22 is the words of Christ upon the cross, Psalm 8 is His words as well. Another thing to keep in mind is that our Lord, as a man, was taught the Scriptures. Luke 2:52 says that Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. There was a day that our Lord, as a child, most likely, was taught this Scripture. He had a teacher that sat down with him and taught him how to read this psalm. Even though it was his own words, he had to learn this psalm. There was also a day when our Lord fulfilled the psalm. Every jot and tittle of the Scriptures, He had to fulfill. We can't do it. He had to do all of it. So with these things in mind, let's go through this psalm one more time. Verse 1. O Lord, the God-man. Jesus of Nazareth calls out to Jehovah. Says, O Lord, the Son of God, while in His humanity, was a man of prayer. How often do we find in the Scriptures that He separated Himself out in prayer and went before His Father? If our Lord places such high esteem upon prayer, may God give us a heart to seek our Lord in prayer as well. O Lord, our Lord, take notice of Christ's relationship to His people. He doesn't say, O Lord, their Lord. O Lord, this people's Lord. O Lord, your elect's Lord. But He says, O Lord, our Lord. Jesus Christ, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation, and took upon Him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. As a man, Christ became a servant to fulfill God's law. By one man, we rebelled and were cast out of God's presence. Only by a man can men be reconciled unto God again. The law must be fulfilled for God to accept a man. Christ cried out to the God who saves, took His place as a servant, and proclaims the excellency of the Lord Jehovah's name. Those of us who have been redeemed, who have been called by God's grace, we know something of the majesty and excellency of God's grace in saving sinners. Our Lord knows it in full. He knows the exceeding sinfulness of sin. He knows the hatred that God has for sin. And He knows the holiness of God. And knowing all that, He, as our representative, proclaims the excellency of God's name. And He does it for us because we can't do it. Try as we like to proclaim the wonder and the majesty of His name, we can't do it. But our Lord can, and He did for this sinner. Verse 2, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast Thou ordained strength because of Thine enemies, that Thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. Neither Satan nor all of the world's religions since the fall of man could ever conceive that a man should be brought forth, not coming as a great, mighty, conquering king, but coming as a lowly servant to suffer and die at the hands of sinful man. And by His death and resurrection, He saves His beloved sinners. I wonder, did Satan rejoice at the deception of Eve and the rebellion of Adam? Did he think to himself, I've done it now. I've thwarted God's plans. Did he realize that he was simply a tool sent to accomplish God's eternal purpose? Those who slew our Lord on the cross, they believed that they were doing God's service. They thought that in removing this man, they wouldn't be bothered with him again. They were nothing more than tools in God's hand to save his elect, to redeem his people. None but God could ever conceive a means by which he can be just, condemn the sinner, and justifier, save those who had rebelled against him. That takes the wisdom and knowledge of God. Verses 3 and 4. I love to think of these verses. We are reading what Christ fulfilled. There was a day, and in my mind's eye, our Lord's a child. And all of us as children have sat under the stars and looked up at him in wonder and amazement. My Lord sat down and looked into the heavens, and he considered God's heavens. He considered the works of God's fingers. He considered his work. As a man, he sat down and considered God's heavens. And as he did it perfectly. We can sit there and marvel at the wonders that we see and behold, but nothing like he did. He sat and considered them perfectly, seeing God's excellency in his creation without sin. What must that be like? One day, this body of sin is going to be put off, and then I'll know as I'm known. And I hope I'll be able to sit and consider thy heavens, the wonders of thy works. And then, as a man, Jesus asked, "What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the Son of Man that thou visitest him?" This man considered God's heavens, and he wondered that God, the God of salvation, should consider man. And what's even more astounding about this verse? He was filled with wonder that God would visit him. Matthew, Mark, and Luke record our Lord referring to himself as the Son of Man 72 times. Our Lord so closely identifies with us in our sins and iniquities that he wonders that God would visit him. God in the flesh wondered that the God of salvation would visit him. I can't explain it. I can't come close to understanding it. But that's what is written here. That's what our Lord said of himself. And verse 5 tells us why Christ would wonder that God, the Lord Jehovah, would visit him, the Son of Man. God has made him a little lower than the angels. For a time, our Lord, the Son of God, dwelt upon the earth. He made his dwelling place among sinful men. Throughout scriptures, we read of angels visiting the earth and the people thereof. But they don't stay. They pass through. They accomplish their purpose for which they were sent, and they leave. But this man took up his abode with us. He came and he stayed. Job said, "Behold, he, God, put no trust in his servants, and his angels he charged with folly." And our Lord wondered that God would visit him. And not only did God make him a little lower than the angels by causing him to dwell with sinful men, but he lived under the law. And he also suffered death. The elect angels behold the Father's face. Christ cried out from the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" My sin, being found upon Christ, my Passover, caused God the Father to forsake the Son of Man. And he was made a little lower than the angels. Christ was made a little lower than the angels and has been crowned with glory and honor. God has crowned a man with glory and honor, for a man has kept his law. A man has suffered the wrath of God. A man has borne the sins of many and made reconciliation between God and men. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians 2, verse 13. "But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Verse 15, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby." Because of what he has accomplished, God has given him a name which is above every name. Hebrews 1:4 says, "He hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they." One final place, turn over to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews 2 and verse 7. Hebrews 2, 7. The writer to the Hebrews is quoting our psalm here. Hebrews 2, verse 7. "Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren." O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. This God, this Savior, is worthy of our praise and admiration. Psalm 150, verse 6 says, "Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. As a psalm of David, all of God's elect can echo the words and thoughts of this psalm. How we long to magnify and extol His name properly, as it should be extolled. To see Christ lifted up as the only one worthy of receiving all glory, honor, and power. To see His sovereignty magnified in the election and salvation of helpless babes, and to know that the Lord God is mindful of sinners, so much so that He sent His only begotten Son into the world to save sinners. Approaching this psalm as the psalm of Christ, who came into the world and fulfilled everything that was written of Him, we see Him, our Redeemer, fulfilling the Scriptures. He took His place as a servant, and representing us, He called upon the Lord, Jehovah, His Lord. The Ancient of Days became a babe, and because He suffered and died for us, He has stilled the enemy and the avenger for us. He marveled at God's grace in visiting His people, and we see Him crowned with glory and honor. What a blessing we have when we, who do not see all things under His feet yet, see Jesus magnified in His glory. Words fail us. Even when we see through a glass darkly, when we see some of His glory, what more can we say than, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is Thy name in all the earth. Pray the Lord that it's a blessing to you.